In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Leadership Academy, where we equip the chosen for their assignment. In each episode, I'll be sharing insight and wisdom that God has given me through my 23 years of pastoral ministry. My goal is to equip you with the tools necessary to run faster and further, helping you to avoid the common pitfalls so that you can make a greater impact for the kingdom. I encourage you to share this broadcast with anyone you know who has been called to leadership, whether they are part of the fivefold ministry, a lay leader, or have some other ministry assignment. Because remember, if you're a leader, that means someone is following you. Now, let us pray. Precious God, Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to speak through me, speak for me, say what you want to say and do what you want to do. Father God, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you get the glory for all that is said and done on tonight. Lord, empower your people to be better. Father God, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom and for those who follow them. Father God, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Lord, prepare us tonight. Father God, for insight, foresight, and revelation. Father God, Lord, that would do, Lord, what you so desire and edify, Lord, your people. I trust you and believe you, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, during tonight's episode of the Leadership Academy, I want to talk to pastors, leaders, about something that is very important in this generation. We are living in a time where platforms are everywhere. People are chasing visibility, recognition, titles, followers, likes, clicks, status, and influence. And while there is nothing wrong with using tools, media, platforms to advance the kingdom, there is a danger when the platform becomes more important than the purpose. There's a danger when being seen becomes more important than being sent. There's a real danger when ministry becomes more about building a name than lifting the name of Jesus. So tonight's lesson is titled, Don't Forget Who Called You. Because if God called you, your ministry belongs to him. Your gifts belong to him. Your platform belongs to him. Your influence belongs to him. And most importantly, the glory belongs to him. See, one of the greatest dangers in ministry is when a person begins serving God for reasons that have very little to do with God. See, you can preach with wrong motive. You can lead with wrong motive. You can serve with wrong motives. You can give with wrong motives. You can build something impressive and still have unhealthy heart behind it. So tonight, we're just not talking about gifting. We're not just talking about leadership ability. We're not simply talking about ministry growth. Tonight, we're asking a deeper question. Why are we doing what we do? Because God does not only examine our work, he examines our motive. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, Paul tells us this. He says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. See, Paul says, whatever you do, that includes preaching, teaching, leading, serving, counseling, praying, preparing, giving, setting up, cleaning up, visiting, posting, mentoring, managing. The details nobody else sees, whether that's mopping the floor, cooking, watching the kids in children's church, working the media table. Whatever we do, we're called to do it heartily, but not for human applause, not for recognition. We're to do it as unto the Lord. See, that one phrase will check a leader's heart. See, if I am serving as unto the Lord, I do not need constant recognition to remain faithful. If I'm serving as unto the Lord, I can keep going when nobody applauds. If I'm serving as unto the Lord, I do not fall apart when somebody else receives the credit. If I'm serving as unto the Lord, I understand that my real audience is God. Oh, let me help you. I remember when I first started pastoring, one of the most profound statements that I ever heard God say to me, and I never forget this. I remember this every time I stand before people and preach the word of God. Because I remember preaching and I remember the silence. Nobody was saying amen. And I remember it kind of started to unnerve me at a point. And I heard God said, "You preach for an audience of one. Everybody else just gets a chance to listen." Oh, I'm going to say that again and let you get that in your spirit. God said, "You preach for an audience of one. Everybody else just gets a chance to listen." See, as a preacher, as a pastor, I don't care what it is, as the ministry leader, as the worship leader, you have to recognize that your real audience is the Lord, the Most High God. Everything that we do, we should be doing for His approval. Everybody else just gets to bear witness. And that's why you shouldn't care if the pastor appreciates it. You shouldn't care if the ministry leader appreciates it. You shouldn't care if the congregation appreciates it. You shouldn't care who recognizes you. You shouldn't care if they gave somebody else acknowledgement and didn't acknowledge you. You shouldn't care if they called your name or not during the program. You shouldn't care, because if I was doing it as unto the Lord is the only one I care whether or not he paid attention to what I did or not. See, before we ask, how do I grow my ministry? We need to ask, why do I want to grow it? Before we ask, how do I increase my platform? We need to ask, what will I do with that influence? Before we ask, how do I get more people to follow me? We need to ask, where am I leading them? Because growth is not always proof of purity. Visibility is not always proof of divine approval. Popularity is not always proof of an anointing. A large audience may impress people, but God still weighs the heart. See, you got to remember who called you. See, every pastor and leader needs to remember this. You did not call yourself. Social media did not call you. A title did not call you. A position did not call you. A denomination did not originate your assignment. Your talent did not call you. Your charisma did not call you. See, if the calling is authentic, God called you. And when you remember who called you, it changes how you serve. See, the one who calls you has the right to define the assignment. He has the right to determine the timing. He has the right to choose the place. He has the right to open doors and close doors. That means I do not have to manipulate my way into rooms. I do not have to compete with another leader. I do not have to use people as stepping stones. I do not have to compromise my conviction for an opportunity. If God called me, then God knows where I am. and he knows what I need, and he knows when I'm ready. Oh, watch this. See, you heard what I said. He has the right to define the assignment. I told you, I've been pastoring for 23 years. And God shifts my ministry anytime he chooses. I remember when COVID happened and everybody went virtual. And we had a virtual ministry just like everybody. And then everybody started going back into the building. And I remember our leaders, our parishioners, everybody started asking, Pastor, when are we going back? I was like, I don't know. Because God didn't tell me to go back. Matter of fact, before then, when I started pastoring my first church, when I first began to pastor them, the first thing I told them, I will pastor you until God says otherwise. And when God told me that it was time for me to leave there and birth ministry, I left. They couldn't understand it. Oh, why are you leaving? You mad? You upset? No, I didn't leave because I was mad. Unlike a lot of people, I didn't birth ministry because I was upset with anybody. I did not leave because they wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do because I was a pastor. I pastored that church. I did everything God told me to do. And when God said it was time to go, I left and birthed ministry. Because God said so. And so when God said we weren't going back, I said, okay, we're not going back. And then I had people wondering, what do you mean you're not going back? God said we're not going back, period. So we didn't go back. So we remained virtual. I had all kinds of pastors, leaders, everybody asking me, what you mean you're not going back? What the folks going to do? I don't serve the folks. They didn't call me. God called me. I'm held accountable unto God for them, not accountable to them. So my job is to serve them according to God's instruction. Oh, you better get this. The one who calls you has the right to define the assignment. God said the assignment is now virtual. So that's what I did, faithfully. Every Sunday, every Thursday, I kept ministering the same way he told me to minister. Then God told me, start the channel. So I did the channel. And we had ministry Sundays. We had the programs he told us to have. And so that's what we did. We had the Man Cave. We had Women of Worth. We had Marriage Seer Training. That's what we did. We had the Heart of the Pastor. That's what we did. We did those things. And we had the word at my church on Sunday mornings. And then God told me, your season is up. You will no longer be preaching on Sunday mornings each week. I said, okay, God, well, what am I do? He told me, put somebody else in your time slot. I prayed. I said, who am I supposed to put there? And so now we have the enjoyable life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash on Sunday mornings. Why? Because the one who called me has a right to define the assignment. And I remember my wife specifically asking me, she said, how do you feel about not preaching? I said, I don't feel any kind of way. Because the gift's not mine. The anointing is not mine. The glory is not mine. The platform is not mine. I'm not mine. So the one who called me, you better get this. Paul said, he called me and placed me into ministry. See, he equipped me and he called me and he placed me in ministry. So if he's the one who did all of that, then how can I tell him what I'm going to do with it? Oh, you got to understand that. And that's why I don't have to try to manipulate anything. I don't have to ask anybody to let me preach. I don't have to ask anybody to do anything. See, he knows where I am. He knows what I need. See, sometimes the door has not opened yet because God is still working on the leader behind the gift. Sometimes we're praying for exposure, but God is purifying our motives. Sometimes we're praying for enlargement, but God is developing our humility. Sometimes we're asking God for more people, but he's watching how we handle the people he already gave us. Before God gives greater visibility, he often develops character. Because the real question is not, can God use me? The question is, can God trust me with his glory? Oh, you better hear what I just said. Yeah, God wants to know, can he trust you with his glory? We do know the Bible says God is a jealous God. So God's not sharing his spotlight with anybody. And you have to understand, God weighs the heart. See, Proverbs chapter 16 says this. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. See, the scripture is sobering because it reminds us of how easily we justify ourselves. See, we can spiritualize ambition. We can rename ego. We can disguise insecurity. We can call jealousy discernment. We can call control leadership. We can call self-promotion kingdom advancement. But the Bible says the Lord weighs the spirits. See, people see the action. God sees the reason behind it. Oh, you better hear what I just said. See, people see the sermon. God sees the motive. People see the gift. God sees the heart carrying the gift. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. See, people may look at presentation, charisma, numbers, followers, invitations, and influence. But God is looking deeper. He's looking at obedience. He's looking at humility. He's looking at purity. He's looking at whether or not we are still seeking him privately while representing him publicly. See, a leader can have a polished public image and still have neglected private life. This is why every leader needs regular heart examination. See, here are some questions worth sitting with. Would I still serve if nobody knew I did it? I'm going to let y'all sit with that for a minute. Would I still obey if somebody else received the credit? Would I do this if there were no financial benefit? Oh, that one's heavy. Would I still remain faithful if this did not increase my visibility? Am I serving people or am I using people to build my identity? See, those questions are not meant to condemn us. They are meant to sharpen us. See, because mature leadership requires honest examination. See, I want to show you something. As you all know, like I said, 23 years pastoring, still have congregation that I'm responsible for, still have a platform that I'm responsible for, I still have a ministry that I'm responsible for unto the Lord. I still have an assignment. My assignment is just shifted, slightly different. So in this season, I have some latitude as far as where I spend my Sundays. Because I'm actually curating the channel. I have three different ministries that come on this channel on Sunday morning. So I could actually get my feeding of the word right here at home watching this. My wife and I. But God has blessed me to be close enough to my children in geographical proximity as well as relation. And I have had the pleasure, the benefit of having my children have been trained up in the world, now being able to watch them walk out their own spiritual walk. And so I was invited by my oldest daughter to worship with her at her church because she lives closest to me. Now, I've also worshiped with my youngest daughter at her church, which her church now comes on our channel every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Those are her pastors. But my eldest daughter invited us to worship with her at her church, New Foundation Church International, here in the city of Charlotte. 8721 Sydney Circle. And we started going there. And the Spirit of God was in the place. But what I noticed most was the integrity on the leaders and the anointing on their lives. Now watch this. And God spoke to my spirit and said, because I understand and know the weight of ministry, that it is now my assignment to assist. Now in that ministry, they've got a bunch of executive pastors and elders and ministers and deacons. They've got leadership. So I didn't come in there and say, hey, I need to be a part of your leadership staff. I didn't say, hey, I need to sit on the front row. Hey, I need an opportunity to preach. Hey, I didn't ask for anything. I just came, sat back, started getting the word. And I simply told him, anything you need me to do, I'll do. And that's not lip service. Literally. Anything they ask me to do, I do. As a pastor of 23 years with a ministry I'm still responsible for, I'm sitting in the house and I have submitted my ministry to a pastor of 16 years and I'm serving. And I'm serving to the point that they were having a women's conference a couple of weeks ago. And just because it was a women's conference and a lot of the people who serve in certain ministries are women, and I had to bring my wife to the women's conference, I said, if I'm going to be there, I might as well serve. Now, one of my spiritual aunts, Pastor Portia Taylor, Victory Christian Ministry International, was one of the speakers at the conference. Haven't seen Pastor Portia in years. When she came, Pastor Stephanie saw her and she was talking to her and she said, hey, where's Pastor Tuck? She said, oh, he's working media tonight. And she had this look on her face like, he's doing what? Because people would think it odd. Why is a senior pastor working media? Why not? See, you heard what I just said. Would you still serve if nobody knew you did it? Would you obey if somebody else receives the credit? Would you still do this if there's no financial benefit? Would you remain faithful if this did not increase your visibility? See, because I know who called me. And God gave me an assignment to assist. So if there's a need, if I need to vacuum the floor, I'm going to vacuum the floor. If I need to take out the trash, I'll take out the trash. See, we have to understand who called us. And because he called us, he gets to choose the assignment. See, and not as men pleasers. Oh, you better hear me. See, I don't just choose the assignment because I want to get close to the pastor. Because I want him to favor me so he'll let me preach. Really? I've been doing this for 23 years. I have an international streaming faith network. I can preach 24 hours a day if I want to preach. I'm not looking for a platform. I'm not looking for followers. The Lord literally gave me an assignment to build a platform, and I have placed other ministers on our platform. So this is not to please men. See, servants, he says in Ephesians, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service or as men pleasers. In other words, don't do this just so you can be seen. He says, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether bond or free. See, Paul warns against eye service, doing the right thing only when the right people are watching. What do you mean, Pastor? You know how it is. One of the things that irritates pastors, and pastors, if you're watching, you know this, irritates you more than anything. You can't even announce from the pulpit that you're not going to be there Sunday, because if you do, half the church won't show up. Well, why is that? Because some of them coming just so you can see them. They're not coming to see Jesus. They come in to see you and so that you can see them. Ooh, that's powerful. But that's also a powerful word for leaders. See, eye service is when excellence only shows up when someone influential is in the room. It's when we're humble around people who can promote us, but careless with people who cannot benefit us. Oh, it is when we treat people differently based on their money, status, or connections. See, but kingdom service is not performance. Kingdom service flows from devotion. A mature servant does not live asking, who's watching me? A mature servant lives asking, is God pleased with me? See, there's a difference between ministry and auditioning. Some people are not serving. They'll always position themselves for the next opportunity. Jesus. I see this all too often. See, because they see that certain people have status, they have resources, they have platforms, they have position. You know, whenever they're around these people, they're trying to get next to them because they want to be where they are and they want what they have. And they don't want what's on their lives. They want their lives. But when we remember who called us, We can serve without striving. We can be faithful without needing to be noticed. We can work with excellence because Christ is worthy, not because people are watching. You can do what you do out of love for people and the love for Christ. See, the danger of performing righteousness is this. Jesus says this, take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not be sound of a trumpet before thee, as hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know that thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. See, Jesus is not rebuking generosity. He's rebuking the motive behind the generosity. He says, do not do it to be seen of men. See, that's the issue. It is possible to do the right thing with the wrong reason. It is possible to give, to serve, to pray, to fast in a way that is more concerned with appearance than obedience. Jesus says when people perform righteousness for human attention, they have their reward. In other words, if applause is what you wanted, applause may be all you receive. If recognition is what you wanted, recognition may be all your full reward. And see, that's a dangerous exchange, to trade the pleasure of God for the applause of people. See, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. He says, verily I say unto you that they have their reward. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. When thou hast shut up the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, that thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. See, this is important for pastors and leaders. Do we have a prayer life that nobody sees? Not just public prayer. Not just a platform prayer. Not just prayer before preaching, but private prayer, secret prayer, prayer that is not content, prayer that is not performance, prayer that is not designed to impress anybody. See, leaders, we got to be careful that we do not become so professional in ministry that we lose intimacy with God. See, we can study to preach and forget to study to live. We can pray only for services and forget to pray for surrender. We can serve the table and still be spiritually starved ourselves. That's why he says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they can appear unto men to fast. He says, verily I say unto you that they have their reward, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear to men to fast, but to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, again, Jesus brings us back to the motive, that there must be parts of our walk with God that are sacred, private, unseen. Every moment with God does not need to become content. Every act of obedience does not need an audience. Every sacrifice does not need an announcement. The secret place protects the leader from becoming addicted to the spotlight. See, gifted does not always mean approved. Oh, I think I need to say that again. Gifted does not always mean approved. Not everyone that saith unto the Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
He said, many will say to me on this day, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then I'll confess, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. See, I heard a preacher say this a long time ago. He said, one of the scariest things in the world is that God is the only employer that'll fire you and let you keep coming to work. See, we got to be real careful of our motives because God is checking. The passage should humble every leader. See, these people had activity. They had works. They had the spiritual language. They had ministry results. But Jesus said, I don't even know who you are. See, that teaches us that activity is not a substitute for intimacy with God. A gift functioning through us does not automatically mean God's approved of everything within us. See, we can be gifted and still need correction. That's why it says the gifts are not without repentance. See, we can be gifted and still be prideful. We can be gifted and still greedy. We can be gifted and still insecure. We can be gifted and still unaccountable. And that's why leaders must not measure spiritual health only by visible results. See, crowds can be misleading. Platforms can be misleading. Public success can be misleading, but God knows your heart. And that's why we can't do what we do for money. Now, let's deal with this money thing. Because the Bible is not silent about money, especially when it comes to leadership. And there's nothing wrong with a pastor being compensated. Don't get it twisted. Because the scripture clearly tells us not to muzzle the ox while treading out the corn. He says, and the worker is worthy of his wage. He tells you that you ought to, that the one that labors in the word is worthy of double honor. So there's nothing wrong with a ministry having resources. There's nothing wrong with building and creating and publishing and developing tools to help sustain the work. The issue is not with money, whether money is present. The issue is whether money has become the motive. See, there's a difference from being supported in ministry and serving because of what the ministry can pay. See, God settled this issue with me from the beginning. I remember when I first got called to pastor, and I remember I got licensed. I got called in 2001. I got licensed in 2002, and I started pastoring in 2003. God moved on me very aggressively. Got saved in 2000. So God was working on me very quickly. And I remember when I actually got called and assigned to the pastorate, and I was going through the details of actually becoming the pastor of the church. And I remember notifying them that God had confirmed that I was supposed to be their pastor, and they had asked me to pastor. And God told me to tell them that I would accept their request to pastor them, and that God had confirmed it. And I said, well, God, they didn't tell me what they were going to pay me. God said, you're going if they don't pay you nothing. That's how simple he made it to me. And that settled the issue with me forever. That I didn't have a choice in this matter. That money was never to be anything in regards to my call. And that's why never has there ever, when people ask me, what's your honorarium? I'm like, what are you talking about? How much do you charge? What are you talking about? God made this clear from the beginning. If he assigns me to anything, I don't have an option. That's between you and God, how you choose to honor me. It's between God and himself, how he chooses to take care of me. I have nothing to do with any of that. All I have to do is trust him and receive. Oh, that's going to bless somebody if you get it. Because I haven't worked a secular job in over 20 years. And I've put two kids through college. And both of them have 3 degrees. Yeah. Just chew on that for a minute. See, he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. See, Peter said leaders need to feed the flock willingly, not for filthy lucre. That means people are not profit centers. The sheep are not customers. The pulpit is not a place for manipulation. The vulnerable are not opportunities for exploitation. Faithful shepherds serve because he loves God and loves God's people. Yes, ministry requires resources. Yes, laborers are worthy of support, but leaders must guard their hearts so that compensation does not become the reason for obedience. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, a bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy for filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetedness. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy 3 and 8 says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to wine, not greedy for filthy lucre. So we cannot have this greed for money anywhere within the body, in leadership. Titus reconfirms that same thing. Scripture repeatedly warns leaders about greed because of money. See, because money can quietly corrupt your motive. So every leader has to ask, am I being compensated for ministry, or has compensation become my reason for ministry? See, would I still serve people who cannot repay me? Would I still mentor someone who cannot open the door for me? Would I still pastor faithfully if the assignment looks small in the eyes of others? See, those questions matter because God can trust leaders who handle resources without letting resources rule them. See, we can't do it for attention. Paul tells us in the Philippian letter, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is empty glory. It means attention without eternal substance. It's recognition that feeds the ego but does not glorify God. And leaders have to be honest. Attention can become addictive. Recognition can become a drug. The praise of people can become something we begin to crave. And that's why Paul points us back to the mind of Christ. Jesus had all power, yet he humbled himself. He had all authority, yet he served. He was worthy of all glory, yet he took on the form of a servant. See, kingdom of leadership is not about making ourselves larger. It's about making Christ visible through humble obedience. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in Galatians, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, the desire for vainglory leads to comparison, competition, and envy. And that's why some leaders struggle to celebrate another leader's success. See, one of the reasons why I enjoy both of my daughter's pastors so much, I absolutely love the anointing that's on their lives. I love their gifts. I love what they God is using them to do in the body. And that's why I have no problem serving them. Because I look at the benefit that the body of Christ is receiving through their ministry. And so my desire, and I am enjoying my assignment, to lift their burden so that they can do better the assignment they've been given, so that the body of Christ benefits. See, because I have a heart for the kingdom and not myself. I feel the same way about my sons in ministry, the ones that God has assigned me to cover. And I do the same thing for any man and woman of God who I see have a heart for the kingdom, because my heart is for the kingdom. See, another church grows, and instead of rejoicing, we become insecure. Another pastor gets invited and we feel overlooked. Another ministry receives attention and we begin questioning our own value. Somebody else gets a plane, a jet, a building, and we like, where ours at? See, because comparison can make you despise the assignment God gave you. You can become so distracted by another person's field that you stop cultivating your own. See, a mature leader can celebrate what God's doing through somebody else without feeling threatened. See, it's not good to eat too much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. That's what the proverb says. See, there's a difference between being recognized and searching for recognition. There's a difference between stewarding influence and needing attention. There's a difference between God opening a door and a leader constantly campaigning for one. See, when God gives influence, we should steward it. With humility, but we should never become addicted to our own visibility. See, the humble are the ones who God can trust. Humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. Humility is seeing yourself accurately before God. Humility says, I'm gifted, but God gave the gift. I'm anointed, but the oil belongs to him. I'm effective, but the power belongs to him. I have influence, but the people belong to him. I may have a platform, but the glory belongs to him. See, humility does not deny the gift. Humility refuses to worship the gift. See, James 4 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. See, that scripture series. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I would rather have a small platform with God's grace than a large platform with God's resistance. Woo! He just said something there, didn't he? See, I would rather serve in obscurity with God's approval than be celebrated publicly while my heart is drifting privately. See, Peter says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of ye be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt ye in due time. The Bible says God exalts in due time. That means I don't have to force elevation. I don't have to manipulate opportunities. I don't have to tear someone else down to lift myself up. If God wants to elevate me, he knows how. But the timing matters. Sometimes leaders want exposure before maturity. Influence before character. Expansion before discipline. A platform before they have developed spiritual strength to survive it. Sometimes delay is not rejection. Sometimes delay is preparation. See, God may be protecting us from receiving publicly what we are not mature enough to carry privately. See, the question is, can God trust you with his glory? See, this is the heart of tonight's lesson. Can God trust you with his glory? Can he bless us without losing us? Can he enlarge us without pride taking over? Can he give us resources without money becoming our master? Can he give us influence without influence becoming our identity? Can he allow people to celebrate us while we continue pointing them back to him? See, that's the issue. Because the goal is not simply to become bigger. The goal is to become trustworthy. Apostle Tony Brazos, and my pastor's pastor, said something at a men's conference I was at about a month ago, and he said something very powerful. He said, integrity is access in the supernatural. It's how we gain power. See, the goal is to remain faithful. The goal is to become trustworthy, not just to become known. The goal is not to build something that makes people admire us. The goal is to build what God has assigned in a way that brings him glory. Let me give you some leadership tools, and then I'm gonna let you go. Since this is the Leadership Academy, I want to give you some practical tools that leaders can use to sharpen themselves and their ministries. Number one, the motive audit. Before launching a major initiative, ask, why do I want to do this? Who benefits from this? Who receives the glory? Am I obeying God or am I competing with somebody? Am I building from conviction or insecurity? And would I still consider this successful if God were pleased, but people were unimpressed? Now write down your answers and don't just think about them, because writing them down helps reveal patterns. Number two, build an accountability circle and not a fan club. That's huge. See, because every leader needs people who are not impressed by their title. You need people who can say you're moving too fast. That decision came from pride. You're neglecting your family. You're becoming too focused on numbers. You are not listening. You need to slow down and pray. If everyone around you depends on your approval, your paycheck, your platform, you may not have accountability. You may simply have admirers. See, a healthy leader welcomes correction. Number three, practice hidden service. Regularly do things that cannot be posted. Bless someone anonymously. Serve where no one recognizes you. Help someone who cannot repay you. Pray without broadcasting it. Encourage another leader privately. Do good and resist the urge to turn it into content. Hidden service helps cleanse the soul from attention addiction. That's powerful. Number four, track faithfulness, not just growth. Most ministries track attendance, giving, views, followers, and engagement. Those metrics can be useful, but leaders must also ask, are people growing spiritually? Are marriages being strengthened? Are leaders being developed? Are peoples becoming more biblically grounded? Are disciples making disciples? Are we handling conflict biblically? Are we caring for the vulnerable? Are we maintaining integrity? Are we obeying God's assignment? Numerical growth matters, but spiritual health matters more. Number five, create a no camera discipline. Every leader needs spiritual practices that never become content. Some prayers should remain private. Some giving should remain private. Some fasting should remain private. Some moments with God should remain sacred. Do not monetize every moment. Do not publicize every sacrifice. Do not turn every act of obedience into proof of your spirituality. A leader needs a life with God that the public cannot access. Number six, conduct a quarterly heart review. Every few months, ask what currently makes me jealous. Whose success bothers me? Am I secretly competing with another leader? Am I more concerned with image than integrity? Do I treat influential people differently? Do I become offended when I'm not acknowledged? Has ministry become more important to me than Jesus? That last question is critical because ministry itself can become an idol if we're not careful. Number seven, separate identity from assignment. You are not your title. You are not attendance numbers. You are not your platform. You are not your invitation schedule. You are not your follower count. You are not the size of your ministry. Before you were pastor, bishop, apostle, prophet, teacher, doctor, you are a child of God. Your assignment matters, but your identity must remain rooted in Christ. If you're losing a title causes you to lose yourself, the title had too much power. I'm telling you, you can never become more impressed with your gift than the grateful, than you are grateful to the giver. See, you got to get this. If God cannot trust you in obscurity, visibility will not heal you. It will expose you. See, the goal is not for people to leave impressed with you. The goal is for them to encounter Christ. See, I want you to use those tools. And I don't want you to ask, I don't want you to look at those tools during that examination and use those tools as a leader or a preacher. Use those as a disciple, as a child of God. I want you to spend some time with the Father examining your heart and make sure how you do ministry is the right way. Figure out, has your motive changed? Are there parts of your ministry that are feeding your ego? You know, if you're responding incorrectly when you're overlooked, do you have trouble celebrating somebody else? You know, are you less faithful when your finances are not being compensated, if you're not being compensated correctly? See, because all these things we're going to expose, have you forgotten who called you? But I pray this has blessed you. I pray it challenged you because God has called us to be faithful. And that's who he's looking for, those who can be trusted. Because the same God who gave the gifts owns the gifts. Same God who opens the door owns the door. The same God who sent the people owns those people. And the same God allowed the success deserves the glory. Remember, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. If you've been blessed by our ministry here at My Church Virtual Ministries or the My Church channel or any of the things that we do here, and you want to help us continue to do those things and carry out the assignment that we have, we pray that you would sow a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or you can go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. But in any event, make sure you share this message with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody who needs it. But God bless you. I love you. I'm Pastor Tuck. And I will see you next time here on the My Church channel and on the Leadership Academy. God bless you. I love you. Stay tuned for our announcements. Peace.
I just don't understand why I keep hitting the same walls in my relationships.
Maybe it's because of your relationship with your father.
Get ready to receive your breakthrough with Damaged Goods, the all-new audiobook from Pastor Lewis L. Tucker Jr. Prepare to experience the restoring power of the Father's love with a special 17th anniversary edition of the groundbreaking book, now available in audio. Get your copy today for you or someone you love.
Good day, everyone. I'm Pastor Tuck's AI voice clone, and I am the voice you will hear if you purchase a copy of Damaged Goods, the Restoring Power of the Father's Love, 17th Anniversary Edition. Trust me, you'll be blessed. Hear this wonderful, life-changing revelation in Pastor Tuck's very own voice. This powerful audiobook will truly change your life. And make sure to download the My Church channel, available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Or get the My Church on the Go app on your favorite mobile device. God bless you, and I will be reading to you soon.
Scan the QR code and get your copy today of Damaged Goods, the Restoring Power of the Father's Love. Now available on Spotify.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there are a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.